listening to the Elegant Alchemy podcast with Rima Nouri, where we explore how to cultivate a rich inner world whilst creating an elegant outer one. Bonjour and welcome. Let's get started. My dear Elegant Alchemists, welcome to this podcast number 2. I hope you had a beautiful summer and you are enjoying the beginning of September. I know that I certainly do, first of all, because the crazy heat waves are hopefully over, and also because here in France we are experiencing currently what is quite unique, and it's called La Rentrée. Now, officially, La Rentrée just means that school is starting again and les vacances, the holidays, are over. In fact, La Rentrée is France's answer to January 1st, the energy of new beginnings. You see, the summer break in France usually lasts for 2 months. Now everyone is back, tanned, happy that things are back to normal. The weather is still nice. The summer evenings are still warm enough to sit on a terrace and have a chat with your friends over a glass of wine or a nice meal. So when you think about it, September is really a much better moment for a new start than January. I mean, honestly, aren't you in better shape after your summer holidays than after having eaten too much during the end of the year holidays? And isn't everything just lighter and easier to do in September than in January? Somehow I always feel that this energy of January 1st means we have to start anew, like everything we did before doesn't count or wasn't good enough. Whereas La Rentrée is about new beginnings, but it's autumn, so we are harvesting all the things we have been preparing for the first half of the year. Now, imagine yourself sitting in a cafe in Paris. With moi, we watch the city coming back to her bustling self, and over a cafe and a croissant, you tell me what has happened during the summer, how you are feeling now, and the things you want to bring to life for the rest of the year. Now, wouldn't that be nice? But whether in Paris or in any other part of the world, if you want to adopt a La Rentrée mindset, if you feel that now is the moment to begin bringing that new version of yourself into the light, here are 7 questions for you to enjoy, to journal on, to think upon, and to talk through. Let's start by looking back. Question number 1. What have been the highlights of your summer? Let's celebrate a little bit. Many of our best memories, sparkling moments of our highlights are actually unplanned, unexpected, and often we only recognize them in hindsight. Let me share with you a little highlight from my summer. I went to the Swiss mountains, where 30 of us, colleagues like coaches, consultants, trainers, and so on, we came together, rented a hotel, and met for a week of working together, sharing best practices, learning about new developments, and of course just meeting, renewing friendships, chatting, and generally having a good time and eating way too much Swiss cheese. Now, I fully expected many highlights to happen during our working sessions, and they did. But the best one was actually one that I didn't expect at all. I was with 2 colleagues. We had done some pretty intense work, and afterwards we found ourselves in being mode. We sat on the terrace of the hotel, we overlooked the glorious Swiss mountains, we drank coffee and simply chatted. The conversation went from our favorite pianists to brass to constellation work to Parisian fashion to music festivals to mountain climbing. It was light-hearted, free-flowing. We didn't plan anything, but there was such a quality to the space. I still remember it and I think about it very often. Maybe you too will find that many of your personal highlights are linked to a special space you found yourself in. What was the quality of this space? I suggest that you make a list of your highlights and celebrate them. It's a simple exercise, but you will get so much out of it. Firstly, it will fill you with joy remembering those moments. Secondly, we all have a tendency to forget the good things and dwell on the not so good ones. Now remember, what you focus on gets stronger. So focus on the best moments. And thirdly, putting pen to paper will also serve you as an indicator as to what really lights you up. As I said, often those highlights are not where and what we expect them to be. So, when you look at what was your best reality this summer and in which kind of spaces it happened, can show you the way to create more of it. So much to the highlights of your summer. Now, let's look back a bit further. Since the beginning of the year, what has brought you the most joy and peace? These might be the same things as your highlights, but not necessarily. There might be more quiet moments, maybe new encounters, old friends, new habits, or maybe old habits that are serving you well, space you have been giving yourself. Now, maybe joy and peace seem too abstract or woo-woo, but in my book, joy and peace are the foundation for every one of us to build our own universe upon. Of course, it goes without saying that we all have moments or stretches of time when we feel anything but joyful or peaceful, the reality of life and all that. But it's also worth reminding that we tend to put joy and peace on the back burner of our focus and priorities far too quickly. Now that 2/3 of the year have passed, time to look back and take stock. What has brought you the most joy and peace? And generally speaking, are you getting enough of it? Now would be the moment for a course correction if needed. It doesn't have to be a big, dramatic change. Even a small, consistent change in the right direction will make you feel like a different person at the end of the year. We all know that example of the plane that, if changing its angle for just 1 degree, will end up in a completely different destination. Bien! So far we've looked back. Now let's look forward to what you want to create with this energy of la rentrée. Question number 3. Where in your life do you want to feel lighter? 8 clients out of 10 tell me that they want to feel lighter. Can you relate? You might want to feel lighter in your body, lighter in your thoughts, your relationship with yourself or with a partner. Maybe you simply crave more lightness in your everyday life or your environment, your finances, the way you eat. And for many women, it's everything at once. If that is you, I suggest that you start to focus on one area where you want to feel lighter. Once you start creating more lightness in one area of your life, it'll snowball into other areas too. I can practically guarantee it. Whereas when you try to do everything at once, I can practically guarantee that you'll end up doing nothing. Usually, it's a good idea to start with something that is body-related. We can release so much heaviness through our body, and for that, you don't have to run a marathon biweekly. Just remember when you last felt content in your body? Think about it. What were you doing? Were you moving or resting? Were you doing strenuous exercise or yoga? Were you getting a massage or spending time with your partner? There are so many great ways to release stuck energy and bring flow back into your body and your life. Just focus on what lights you up and do more of it. Another way to lighten up, and it's actually one of my favorites, is to release stuck energy in your physical environment, your home. Well, you knew that one would be coming, didn't you? When your home feels lighter, immediately you will feel lighter too. Transforming your home as a tool to transform all other areas of your life is so tangible and satisfying. And this is la rentrée. Make your home light and sparkly. Do you want to lighten the amount of things you live with, or maybe lighten up the colors in your home? Or maybe you feel that the overall style is a bit dated and not reflective any longer to who you really are? Well, lighten up your home. When we talk about feeling lighter, there is of course also the inner work, which brings me to question number 4. Which old patterns do you want to let go of? When we grow, there always comes a moment when we are called upon letting go of old patterns. The first one I invite you to let go of is holding a grief against someone. It may be a grief that you have been holding for a couple of days. Maybe something happened last week and you feel so annoyed and hurt and angry that you can't let it go and replay the scene in your head over and over and over again. But it could also be that you hold a grief against someone, say your mother or your father, and unfortunately, sometimes we hold those griefs for decades. The more you can let them go, the freer and lighter you will feel. Other examples of old patterns to let go could be status anxiety, the compulsive need to always be right, constant self-judgment, not feeling worthy enough, always saying yes when you want to say no, or vice versa, avoiding decisions, relying on adrenaline as your sole fuel, and victim mentality as your default mode. Most of us, we know our patterns, and usually we are not so keen to look them in the eye and say goodbye. Well, because it's difficult to admit in how many ways those patterns manipulated us, and it is also difficult to let them go because they are familiar and the mind craves familiarity. But there is a moment when we know in our hearts that it's time to move on. It's like with a relationship. When a relationship doesn't make any more sense, you might grieve it, but you'll know the time has come. And then even knowing that, even taking the decision, you will still grieve it because it has been part of your life and your very own fabric. Letting go of the familiar demands courage, but it'll set you free and open up the space for something new and something better. So, which old patterns do you want to let go of? Now that we have created space by committing to more lightness and letting go of old patterns, what shall we fill that space with? Which brings me to question number 5. What quality do you want to cultivate for the rest of the year? If there is one quality you'd really like to bloom into, what would that be? Maybe the answer comes to you right away. Congratulations! For me, it certainly didn't. I actually had quite a hard time with this question. Maybe you have no clue. Is it discipline, patience, willpower, savoir-vivre, gratitude, passion, joie de vivre, honesty, endurance, charm, curiosity, assertiveness, organization, generosity, kindness, femininity, boldness, serenity, courage, and of course, dare I say it, elegance. Whatever it is for you, make sure of one thing. Choose a quality you really want, not one that you feel you should want. Make sure you like your reasons for choosing this particular quality. By the way, make sure that you like your reasons for everything you do in life. To share my own example, my first thought when I finally had one was discipline, which is of course per se a great quality. But when I started to dig a bit deeper as to why, I realized that it was because I always run this story in my head that I don't do enough. Which, by the way, is a very common pattern for women, together with its evil twin, the imposter syndrome. So once I realized what was going on, I most definitely didn't like my reason for choosing discipline. Digging even deeper, I remembered that what I was really after was my word of the year, bien dans ma peau, to be well in my skin. Now, that is definitely a quality I want to cultivate and focus even more on for the rest of the year. And it helped me to remember that this quality, to be well in my own skin, so far has brought me way more joy, peace, well-being, and in the end productivity than keeping my nose to the grindstone and trying to white-knuckle my way through things. Qualities, of course, are being born into our lives through actions. Or, to quote Aristotle, you are what you repeatedly do. And what you repeatedly do are, of course, your habits. Question number 6. What new habits do you want to establish? Habits are so fascinating. We rarely think about them, yet they are probably the number one thing that shapes our lives. When we do want to change our habits, the reason is most often so that we get a different result. The classic example: you want to change your exercising habits in order to lose weight, in order to look better. So what you're really interested in is not the quality of your exercising habits or lack thereof, but to look better. This is what James Clear in his book Habits, which I highly recommend, calls outcome-based habits. Basically, think January 1st and you get the idea. Now, the elegant way of establishing new habits is to establish habits that are part of your identity or will become part of your identity. When you do that, your belief systems will support your new habit. And this means that you'll shift the way you look at yourself, so that your old identity doesn't sabotage your new habits. And this means that you become proud of the type of person you are, as in, I'm the type of person who is this versus I'm the type of person who wants this. Can you see the difference? I'm constantly working on my own habits, especially this year since my word of the year is bien dans ma peau. And I'll share all the things I learned when the year is coming to a close. Now to our seventh and last question. What will be the best way to invest in yourself in the coming month? If you have a dream, a desire, a plan, or simply a project for the rest of the year, and of course beyond, you'll need resources. You'll need time, money, energy, know-how, help from outside, and so on. Of course, you are your biggest resource, and it will come as no surprise that I advocate for investing in yourself first and foremost. Invest in your self-care. May I state the painfully obvious that the biggest resource is your health and energy? Invest in your well-being. Invest in your education. Invest in what you know will increase your value as a person and as a woman, even if that might feel scary at the beginning. I know so many women for whom the idea of investing in themselves is at the bottom of their list, if it is even on the list. Investing in others, of course. And I'm guilty of that one too, because I find it much easier to invest in my children than in myself. Okay, we are all work in progress. So investing in others is easy for many women, or to invest in an idea, a project, a cause, yes. But investing in themselves. You wouldn't believe how huge the resistances are for some women to invest in themselves. But think about it for a moment. If you invest in everything else that matters to you, but not in yourself, it's like you have a beautiful flower in a flower bed, and you're doing everything to make the flower bed look good and be thriving, but you are not watering the flower. See what I mean? So, mes amis, these are my 7 questions for your rentrée. Look back and celebrate. Decide how and where you want to lighten up and let go of old parts. And then stay open and listen to what you feel wants to unfold and materialize and become tangible for the rest of the year. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I hope you find these questions useful. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to dive deeper into the Elegant Alchemy work, you can go to rimanuri.com and subscribe to my free Le Petit Mot, where I share with the Elegant Alchemy community all aspects of elegant inner and outer transformation. If you have any questions, do leave a comment. I would love to continue this conversation with you. Thank you, mes amis, and have a beautiful rentrée!